Savvy Women Wealth Management is an SEC-registered investment advisor, offering advisory services to clients who have engaged us in jurisdictions where we are properly licensed or exempt from licensure.
Welcome to today's Savvy Woman Show. I'm certified financial planner Catherine Magana of Savvy Woman Wealth Management, and I'm here with my partner, Steve Wolf, where our purpose is to entertain, enlighten, and educate and energize women into being knowledgeable investors. And guys, we know a lot of you are listening too, and we love it.
So today we've got a special guest from our industry joining us, Mark Eicher, who's a managing partner, chief investment officer, and a mutual fund manager for Sterling Global Strategies. Mark and I were colleagues as we worked together when I first came to Carlsbad 18 years ago, and he's going to talk about his firm's new mutual fund, a sector rotation fund, how he came to write the algorithm that the fund uses, and how an investor can use it in a portfolio.
Last week, Steve and I were in Denver, Colorado, attending the annual Charles Schwab Impact Conference, which hosted 2,000 registered investment advisors and had a total of 4,000 people in attendance. We can't wait to share some of the insights and the fun we had, including listening to a former president, George W. Bush, and former Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke.
And later in the show, once again, we'll be giving away a $50 gift certificate to the Vigilucci restaurant of your choice. So take down this number. 760-692-5700. That's the Savvy Women Show hotline number. And please note, if you've won a Vigilucci's gift certificate in the last 6 weeks, you will not be eligible for this week's prize. So later in the show, we'll let you know when to call in to win. Again, you'll need to call the Savvy Women Show hotline phone number at 760-692-5700 in order to win. And again, that's 760-692-5700. So let's talk a little bit about the Schwab Impact Conference, Catherine.
Sure. It's an annual conference that Charles Schwab hosts, and it's one of their premier events where they have different keynote speakers, education sessions, networking opportunities, exhibits. There was a wide range of different investment advisors. There was about, we mentioned 2,000 investment advisors, 300 exhibits, over 250 Schwab employees, other independent retirement plan providers, journalists, and it was just a an amazing week of different types of leaders and really collaborating with other investment advisors like ourselves. And there was actually 65 educational sessions. We were able to listen to different speakers, and it really gave us a chance to take a step back from our business to learn about different financial planning tools, investment strategies. And so it was just very impactful.
For me, it was like being a junk food junkie at a convention for junk food. So it was really a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the people who were attending, there were 2,000 RIAs, registered investment advisors. There were about 4,000 people altogether who attended this. And Schwab does this every year for the companies who use them to handle their securities. So like our firm, what we do is we have people who we advise on how to invest. And then the securities are actually housed at Charles Schwab. So it was kind of nice to be with a lot of other people who do the same thing and get a lot of ideas, and that's kind of the main thing from it. It's gaining knowledge, and that knowledge is helping us to serve our clients better.
And it was interesting. There's other firms like ours that serve affluent clients that have between $500,000 to $5 million investable assets. Another thing that I thought that I noticed during the event was the presence of females. I've been in this industry for 15 years, and I looked at the audience, and there was about 22% females and about 78% males, when in actuality, 15 years ago, you probably would have saw 2 to 5% females. So there's definitely been a shift in more female advisors.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because when I started in the business, again, about 28 years ago, there were hardly any women who were financial advisors. I could go to a conference, out of every 100 people, there might be one or two women. And today that's really changed. So it's still not a lot, but I think part of the reason is it's not that we don't want to have women in the business. We do. It just seems like more men are attracted to the business for some reason.
Well, it was interesting. Part of the conference, they had some different educational sessions really talking about helping the female investor as well as attracting and retaining female advisors. So I think there's definitely been an evolution, and we've keep hearing about the affluent women that are out there and really taking charge of the money that's out there.
That's correct. And you know, a couple of the speakers were people everybody knows. I mean, President Bush, George W., and Ben Bernanke, and those interesting. Denver has a convention center that I think San Diego ought to take a look at, because the theater that they were in, it literally was like a stage theater, was unbelievable. I don't know how many people it held, but maybe, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people. And so you had a good vantage point. Anyway, George Bush was talking about a new book that he has coming out, which is really about his father. And I thought it was interesting because he said it's not really an honest portrayal so much as it is a love story.
Well, also you could tell through hearing him speak that he respects his father and they have an amazing relationship together. What I learned from him as well is he also, family's important. He talked about his daughters and their experience in being in the Oval Office. And he talked in depth about the September 11th, 2001 attacks and, you know, where he was at and really staying calm and really trying to protect the Americans. So it was interesting to hear it firsthand from him and really see that dedication to our country. And he's actually really funny, too. He constantly had some humor throughout the evening as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, you look at what happened at 9/11. And, of course, he was at a first or second grade school reading to the kids and listening to them. And someone came up to him, I don't remember who it was, but somebody came up to him and said that there was a plane that hit one of the towers at the World Trade Center. And he didn't think too much, thought, well, maybe it was just, you know, a plane that got off course. Then, of course, when the second one hit, he had someone whisper in his ear, "We're under attack." Well, his thing was that in order to be a good leader, you've got to remain calm. So, you know, when I heard about and saw the Michael Moore movie of him, it made him seem like a real, you know, kind of a moron. And that's not the way it is. And it's certainly not the way he portrayed it. So he was very calm and he let the kids go on and then said he had to excuse himself. So much different than perhaps what you think. And by the way, I was one of a few people who were lucky enough to have their picture taken with George Bush. So he and I, you know, we're really tight now.
And another thing I thought was interesting, he said right now he's been taking some painting classes and his painting and it's something he never thought he could do. So that was kind of interesting to hear more on the personal side.
Well, he was also very self-deprecating. I mean, in the beginning of it, he said this is the second book he's written and most of the people around didn't think he could even read. So, of course, the audience cracked up at that.
So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some of our upcoming events. Our next series of Savvy Woman Best on Purpose is coming up on Wednesday, November 12th at noon. If you'd like to RSVP, give us a call at 760-692-5700, or you can sign up online at savvyup.com. That's savvyup.com. And these Savvy Woman events are fun little gatherings where women can talk about their natural strengths as women and how to use those strengths to managing money and investing. It's about taking a look into your future. We provide some tips, including how to find the right relationship with an investment advisor, someone you feel comfortable with, someone you trust. So we hope you can join us. Once again, you can call us at 760-692-5700. And please understand these are not investing 101 classes. And for those of you Savvy Women that already attended our Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose events, we have another series coming up, and this is more of an investment 101 event called Becoming a Seriously Savvy Woman. And that event's going to be on the same date, Wednesday, November 12th at 5:30. And once again, you can RSVP at 760-692-5700, or you can sign up online at savvyup.com.
So to recap, the Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose event is at noon on Wednesday, November 12th. And Becoming a Seriously Savvy Woman is at 5:30 on that same day, Wednesday, November 12th. Before we take a quick break, I want to remind you of our Savvy Women Show hotline number, 760-692-5700. And you want to have that ready because sometime later in the show, we'll be giving away the Vigilucci's Restaurant $50 gift certificate. And that number again is 760-692-5700.
So stay tuned to the Savvy Woman Show, because when we get back from the commercial break, Mark Eicher, Mutual Fund Manager and Chief Investment Officer for Sterling Global Strategies, will talk about his firm's tactical rotation strategy. So be sure to stay tuned and savvy up.
You're a successful woman. You have a great job. Perhaps you're married. You're probably putting money into a retirement plan like a 401k or IRA. You have an investment account that you have on autopilot. Your monthly statements pile up in the corner and get put into a computer file never to be seen again, except maybe around tax time. If this describes you, then it's time to take a second look at what's going on with your investments. Bring that pile of stuff that includes your investment statements, your retirement plan info, your tax returns, and the rest of your financial information, and let us at Savvy Women Wealth Management take a second look at it. With us certified financial planner and many years of experience under our belts, we can take an objective look at how you're situated as far as your financial goals are concerned. We know that all of us spend hours and hours planning our vacations. Let's take as much time to plan our future wealth. Look us up at SavvyUp.com. That's SavvyUp.com. Or give us a call at 760-692-5700 and set up a 30-minute consultation. Savvy Up!
A man named George Adair uttered the following quote, "Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear." Wow, how powerful are those words?
We've all experienced the fear of the unknown. For some, it's easy to conquer, but for many, fear can be debilitating. We at Savvy Woman Wealth Management have witnessed many women who knew they needed to learn about financial matters, but were honestly afraid they would not be able to understand it, so they never started.
They just kept putting it off, and then one day they were alone. No husband, no significant other. That's when the panic sunk in.
If that sounds like you, it's time to take control. Investing is not rocket science. Start your journey by looking us up at SavvyUp.com. Sign up for one of our next events. Our goal is to enlighten and empower women of all ages.
We believe in education, planning, and the discipline to stick with the plan. Let us show you how. Visit SavvyUp.com to learn more. That's SavvyUp.com. If you take the first step, we'll help you finish the race. SavvyUp. All right, welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with my partner, CFP, Catherine Magana, and myself, Steve Wolf. And today we are honored to have Mark Eicher on our show. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I mean, Mark and I actually used to work together. When I first got to Carlsbad, which was about 18 years ago, he and I were working at Shearson Lehman Brothers, which eventually became Smith Barney, which eventually became Morgan Stanley, which eventually will be something else, who knows. But so we did work together, so I know a little bit about you. But why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I started at Smith Barney, like Steve said, back in the early 90s, and quickly started to concentrate on businesses. And so what we concentrated on was setting up stock option plans, stock purchase plans, non-qualified deferred comp, a lot of corporate services. And I ended up teaming up with the two partners that I have today. So we've been together now for, 17, 18 years, which is crazy to think how fast time goes by. But
and those partners are Mike Haig and Greg Carroll.
That's exactly right.
Right, who also I worked with.
Yes.
Good people.
Yep, they are.
So tell us a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so what ended up happening, we would have liquidity events coming off of the stock option plans, and so we would have to invest executives' money. And the way that we were taught to invest those assets were in a typical asset allocation model. So a little piece of everything, which was fine, except for we didn't keep up during the bull market. And then a lot of those accounts were down 18% to 25% during the bear market that followed from 2000 through 2002. And so at the end of that period, I was very stressed out and couldn't stand losing people money. And so I actually quit the business and I didn't think I was going to come back. And the reason I ended up coming back to the business was because I came up with something that I felt could both protect on the downside, but also capture a lot of the upside.
So I'm curious. I mean, and this isn't in any way I'm casting aspersions, but I didn't know that you had it in you to write an algorithm. So where did that come from?
It's a fairly simple algorithm. It's more of a mathematical formula. And so what we're looking at is multiple data points on the relative strength basis. And so all we're doing is we're deciding what two asset classes out of six have the most strength at any given point in time. And what that does is it enables us to avoid those asset classes that are falling. So if you think about a traditional asset allocation model, the whole premise is that some asset classes are going to be going up, some are going to be going down, and nobody can predict which ones are going to be going down or up. So you want to own a piece of everything. And I feel like the model I've put together helps us, at least statistically speaking, avoid those asset classes that are in bear markets.
So, Mark, do you think that taking that time away from the business gave you that perspective to really think about the business and come up with this?
It did, yeah. I think a lot of this was thinking about ways to reduce downside exposure. And really what I was trying to come up with was that perfect investment, right? Nothing is perfect. So I wanted to be able to capture all of the upside and never have a down year. And that's not possible. But we can certainly limit a lot of that downside exposure since our separately managed account went live almost 5 years ago. The largest quarterly drawdown we've had is 3.9% versus 14.5% for the S&P 500.
Explain to people what you mean by a drawdown.
Yeah, so the biggest quarterly loss that our SMA has had since we went live is 3.9%. In that same time period, the biggest loss for the S&P 500 is 14.5%. So we've done a very good job of limiting that downside risk. And one of the ways we do that is we can invest up to 100%. We can invest 100% of the assets in cash during periods that aren't doing well. And one of the time periods where we did a really good job of that was in the third quarter of 2011. Our SMA after fees for that quarter was down 1.03%. We were sitting in cash and bonds at the end of the quarter. For that full quarter, the S&P 500 dropped 14.5%. International equities EFO was down 21%, and emerging market equities the MSCI Emerging Market Index was down 27%. And we were only down 1.03. So I think we can do a very good job of getting to cash and bonds early in a bear market.
Can you elaborate a little bit more then? How does the strategy work? I mean, I think you're in and out of two different sectors. And can you maybe just share a little bit more about how the tactical rotation fund and separately managed account?
And before you even say that, I don't think we mentioned the name of the fund. It's the Alps Sterling Sector Rotation Fund.
Yeah, it's actually the Alps Sterling ETF Tactical Rotation Fund. So it's a mouthful, but that's what we decided on. Yeah, and so all we're doing again is the six asset classes that we rotate between, and we use ETFs as the proxy for each of these asset classes, are commodities, REITs, U.S. equities, international equities, U.S. bonds, and cash. And we're always going to be 50-50 in the top two. The only asset class we can take 100% weighting in, like I said before, is cash. But the idea is this is designed to perform well through a lot of different market cycles. So if you think back in that 1973 through 81 time period, we have our best outperformance should come through that type of period because we can rotate 50% of the assets into REITs and 50% into commodities. It's just a lot of different market cycles that we can have outperformance in.
So just in case you're joining us, we're talking with Mark Eicher, who is the manager of the mutual fund for the Alps Sterling Sector ETF, et cetera, rotation fund. Could you think of a longer name? All right. I want to go back to something a little bit because I know a little bit more about this. And it seems to me that when you wrote this algorithm, I want to go back to just a minute. Didn't you write this on paper and not use a computer?
I did. And so one of the neat things about this is it's not something that somebody could copy. So we're not. I'm not looking at stick and figure charts, and I'm not charting at all. What we're doing is looking at multiple data points on the relative strength side of things. So you can't have a computer program create this. All of this was done by pen and paper, which took an extraordinary amount of time.
How long did it take you?
Well, I mean, from conceptually thinking about it to actually having it was over a year. Getting down to the nitty gritty and calculating every day was, about 5 months.
Right. And then you've talked about an SMA. And for those people out there who don't know what an SMA is, it is a separately managed account versus a mutual fund. And maybe you can explain kind of the difference between the two.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the separately managed account is an account that we manage separately through advisors for their clients. And a mutual fund is a pooled asset vehicle. And the reason I was talking about performance on the SMA is because our mutual fund just went live in June of this year. So the data doesn't go back as long as the SMA in terms of performance history.
And the SMA has been out for, what did you say, 5 years?
Almost, yeah. We went live according to GIPS, which is the Global Investment Performance Standard. And what they do is they go in and they actually verify the performance and calculate the returns for us. That was June 30th of 2010.
Right.
And then January 30th of 2010, sorry.
For the separately managed account, do you have minimums then for investors?
So every one of the platforms that access us on the advisor side have different minimums. Most of them are $100,000. At Schwab, we're at $50,000 as a minimum on that. In-house, we don't want to compete with any of our advisors. So our account minimum coming in-house is $10 million.
Okay. Well, and I know for the mutual fund platform, that's a great way for those. And, you know, I know even for us, we have on our models of mutual funds, we did add a position of this mutual fund in the last 30 days. So that's a way for us to get access and diversify our clients' portfolios.
And also, because we do a lot, as a matter of fact, in full disclosure, we have put money into your fund. And because we do a lot of that, people can kind of get around those minimums, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah, in the fund, our minimum is $2,500 outside of an IRA or qualified account. In a qualified account, it's $500.
Right. And so far, we've been pretty happy with it. We just recently, of course, put some money into it. And I hope, of course, that you keep doing very well.
So, Mark, I know you often comment on different news publications, and you wrote an article a few months back or commented on interest rates and the rise of that, and when the Fed stops the music. Do you want to comment on that a little bit? And
yeah, boy, was I wrong. You know, it's been a crazy year in terms of interest rates. I was on the side that was absolutely wrong on which direction interest rates were going to be heading this year. And bonds have performed extremely well this year. And I'm a little surprised. I mean, our growth is picking up substantially, and typically when interest rates are this low and you have the type of growth that we're experiencing in our economy, you tend to see interest rates start to move up. And in that article, I was quoting Dr. Torsten, what's his name? Dr. Torsten, from Deutsche Bank. And what he thinks is going to take place, or at least this is what he thought back then when I wrote the article, was that we would have a gap up once interest rates started to move, which means very quickly 100 to 200 basis points or 1 to 2% higher on the 10-year. And obviously that hasn't happened yet.
Well, I'm glad to see that you can own up to when you're wrong, but I have to tell you that all of us pretty much were wrong. I'll be willing to bet you 98% of the people who are out there have figured that interest rates should have gone up by now. So you're not alone. I know we thought the same thing with our model portfolios.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm okay being on the shorter end of the curve. And I think when you're trying to protect money and you have, you still have low interest rates, even if you put it in longer term bonds, the rates aren't high. So it's just a matter of doing what's right for your clients. And, you know, obviously there's times you're not 100% correct on what direction rates are headed, but we know they're headed up at some point.
Right. And, you know, it's okay to be wrong. It really is, especially in a diversified portfolio. But, you know, I feel, just as Catherine said, that it's better to protect our clients in case interest rates do start going up. And normally when economies get better, interest rates go up. And it was interesting because they asked Ben Bernanke that same question about when interest rates will go up. And he was kind of noncommittal, of course, with his answer. But, of course, there were some interesting stories that he told, by the way. And being in, of course, on the original crisis that happened, he told us that he didn't sleep for nights and nights at a time. And he had to literally take breaks consciously so that he could get his thoughts together, which is also a good lesson for all of us who are stressed out in the world.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And also with Ben Bernanke, he had some humor as well. It was kind of nice to see that side of him, because obviously we always see in the news and the financial talks, and he obviously has some rapport with President Bush too. So be sure to stay with us through the break, because when we come back, we'll talk with Mark Eicher, mutual fund manager and a managing partner with Sterling Global Strategies. So please stay tuned and savvy up. Remember 1999? I do. I'm Catherine Magana from Savvy Woman Wealth Management. That was the year I started in the financial advice business. Let's see if you can guess when my partner, Steve Wolf, started.
Seems like yesterday, Catherine. The song was Venus, sung by Bananarama in 1986. We've gotten to know a lot of people over the years. Many of them have become clients and friends. We've gotten to know a lot of couples and tons of women.
That's right. And it's our job to know as much as we can about them in order to properly construct their financial plans. In many cases, we learn many intimate details about their lives.
It's been interesting to see the dynamics, especially between couples. Oftentimes, it's the woman who takes care of the bank book, but it's the man who makes all the investment decisions. And the wife tells us that that's okay because he is going to take care of things.
In all fairness, most of the husbands did a good job, but the problem is that women generally outlive the men. Plus, there's the potential for divorce, which could leave a woman on her own. We want her to be comfortable with investing. That's why we developed our Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose workshop. It's a place where women can get comfortable with investing in a fun, friendly environment.
You can sign up at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. And please understand, this first workshop is not an Investment 101 seminar. So sign up at SavvyUp.com.
No more than 10 women per workshop. So sign up now at SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700 for the next Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose event. We know you're going to love it and really have fun. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700.
And you know, a lot of husbands are thrilled their wives are getting educated about investing. So whether you're married, widowed, or divorced, this is a great place to get started. We want you to get savvy, and while you're at it, really have a good time.
Savvy up. It's always
a good time. All right, welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with certified financial planner Catherine Magana and me, Steve Wolf. Okay, we promised you that we'd be giving away a $50 gift certificate, so get your fingers ready for one of the fine Vigilucci's restaurants. So our hotline number again is 760-692-5700. That's 760-692-5700. And the second caller to call in and say Savvy Up will be the winner. It's 760-692-5700. The second caller to call us and say Savvy Up will win. All right. Well, Mark, we're going to have a little fun with you right now. We've made it a weekly thing to read our disclosure that we have to read because the attorneys tell us that we have to. And each week when someone reads it, we time them. It's kind of like those pharmaceutical commercials you see on the air. And at the end of it, you know, they read things that you can't hardly understand, but they're anyway. So we're going to time you. And I think the time to beat is 27.1 seconds. Now, that's the official time to beat.
Okay.
Just to give you a little more unofficially, I've done it in less than that.
All right.
But since I've
But you don't count, right?
I don't count. And since I've seen it a million times. All right. So whenever you're ready, you can start.
All right. Well, let's do this. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It's only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor. Prior to investing, any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional.
That was really good.
Wow.
You were 9/10 of a second off
the record. Oh, man.
and you know, there's some things I know about you, too, that maybe some other people don't know. And I know you're competitive because you played college football at the University of New Mexico. Am I right?
I did.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, what a great experience. we were terrible when I was there. I think we won a total of 7 games in 4 years, but had a blast and played with and against some of the best players at the time. I got the opportunity to play against Marshall Faulk and Emmett Smith. I played with Terrence Mathis. I don't know if you remember that name, but he went on to have a really good career with the New York Jets and Atlantic Falcons. And then the Steelers, I think he finished up with. So.
Right, and Marshall Faulk, of course, was here at San Diego State.
Yes.
So, well, good for you. And you played tight end, is that right?
Outside linebacker.
I knew that.
Lots of special teams, but yeah.
I thought you played tight end.
I did in high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew that came in somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about your fund.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you talked about the downside. What about the upside? What do you see on that realm of investing and how do you compare?
Yeah. So it's funny. So when I back tested, so we've been live almost 5 years. That's really what's important. But when I back tested, I wanted to see how this would perform in a lot of different market cycles. And I back tested in 1973. And what came out of it was one period of pretty significant underperformance. And that was between 96 and 99. And through that period, that was the last U.S.-led equity bull market that we've had until once I went live. And once we went live, we had no idea that we were starting in what is sort of our Achilles heel, which is a U.S.-led equity bull market. And so performance has been good. We've captured a lot of the upside, but it's almost impossible for us to keep up with the S&P 500 when it's the leading indice because we can only have 50% of our assets in U.S. equities at any given point in time.
But by the same token, that will help your fund should the U.S. not be leading?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look back through that back test, we had great performance through the periods where international equities were leading. Obviously, did extremely well through the bear markets since 73. And like I mentioned before, an inflationary rising interest rate environment is really where you should see the best outperformance from us.
You know, one of the things I find interesting, you know, you started this brand new fund, and it's only been out, the fund itself has only been out since what, July?
Yeah, June 30th.
And of course, you've had the separately managed account for a while. But the hard part about it is that you guys are going up against companies that have been around for years and are huge, you know, the American funds, the Franklin Templeton Fund, Vanguard. You know, so how is it that you can actually get the word out about your fund? How do people know about you?
So one of the neat things, I mean, obviously we have a lot of advisors that are already using us, and so a lot of those advisors have begun to use our fund as well. But we struck a partnership with Alps Funds out of Denver, and so they have 16 what are called wholesalers. So what wholesalers do is they go into advisors' offices, and they're sort of they teach the advisors about different products that they have within their particular firm, and so we actually have 16 of those folks on the ground calling in advisors every day and hopefully occasionally bringing up our fund. They have about 25 funds in their repertoire, but I think they're talking about us, so that's good.
Well, when your separately managed account started, though, no one knew about you. I mean, how did you get to them, or did they get to you? How did that work?
Yeah, so it was a slow process, and I think I can talk about assets. So when we actually went live with our SMA, we had as a firm 65 million, and we just crossed over 310 million at the end of this last month. So we've had some pretty good growth, but most of that has been in the last year and 2 years, in the last couple of years. I mean, it took us 2 years to raise the first 15 million. So it's taken some time, and the way that we've done that is by partnering with other firms again. So we have two different firms that are wholesaling for us on the SMA side, and that's Equus out of San Francisco area and CMG out of King of Prussia in Pennsylvania. So we've got other wholesalers at those firms out spreading the word about what we do.
But how did they first know about you?
Yeah, so when you come out with an SMA, you put your performance data into databases, and one of those being Morningstar, you know, PSN Informa, Mercer. There's a whole bunch of these out there, and so these folks were finding us on those databases and calling us and seeing if they could carry us along with other products.
So when looking at being diversified in a portfolio, where do you see this fitting in? And obviously we used it in a certain area of our model, but just in general, where does this fit in for other investors?
Yeah, so that's a fantastic question. And the way that I view it is different than what a lot of advisors view it. So advisors use this in a lot of different ways. They use this as a satellite, as in their alternative space, in their absolute return space. I view us as a core. And the primary reason why I see us as a core is we're going to rotate away from those asset classes that aren't performing. And so last year in 2013, one of the two negative asset classes that we have the potential to rotate to were bonds. We never rotated to bonds last year. So the way I kind of view us is a 20 to 30% allocation in the middle of a portfolio and just peeling away every one of the other mutual funds or investments that make up that allocation.
So how have you done versus, say, direct competitors? I know there's got to be some other mutual funds that are in the same arena as you are. How have you done against them?
Yeah, so since we launched, there's the big five in what I think is our space. And those big five are PIMCO, Asset All Authority, BlackRock Global. It's First Eagle Global. Oh, man, I'm
Ivy.
Missing. Ivy Asset Strategies, Mainstay Market Field, those folks. And we've come out of the gate performing extremely well. We're the only one out of the group that's in positive territory since we went live. So
I know you often comment on different type of articles and magazines. Do you have any type of a newsletter or ways that people could follow some of your commentary?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you can go to, they can either get it through you guys or...
Yeah.
So if you go to our website, that's probably the best way to get this stuff. So, and we'll put you on our distribution list if anybody has an interest. It's www.sterling-gsinglobalssinstrategy.com.
Right. If anyone wants to know more about you guys, you can always call us because, again, we're using you in our model. And we're using you guys as kind of an alternative investment. You know, a lot of the... Well, what's called modern portfolio theory, although I don't know how modern it is anymore since it started in 1958, I believe it was, says that you should have so much in large capitalization growth stocks and some large capitalization value, some small, some international, et cetera, et cetera. So you kind of don't fit in one of those boxes. You know, where I think that it comes in, and you tell me if you see the same thing, is when things are going badly, you guys can go 100% to cash. So in a time frame like the 08, 09, when the market got hammered, I would assume that your model would have been having you in cash. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't live, but the model was 100% cash in the fourth quarter of 08 and the first quarter of 09 had we been live.
Right. Okay, well, that brings us to another issue. And before I get into that, just want, in case anyone just started listening to us today, this is Mark Eicher, and he's with the Alps Sterling Sector ETF Rotation Fund. And what I was going to say is, what was I going to say, Catherine? Because I've lost my train of thought.
Okay. So we were talking a little bit about having them in our model of mutual funds, and everybody has some look at it as a core. We look at it as an alternative. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's a matter of being diversified. And I do think this is something a little different. And those that don't have access to ETFs, I know there's some investors out there that are buying ETFs, individual ETF portfolios, and this is a great way to get exposed to that.
Okay. I remember what I was going to ask you. It's the difference between fundamental analysis and technical analysis, and you guys are more on the technical side. Is that correct?
We're 100% technical. Yep.
Okay, so explain what that means.
Yeah, so fundamental investors are looking at they're looking at either macro or micro research on either the economy or individual equities or whatever it might be, and instead of looking at research to drive our investment methodology, we are looking at price movement, and so we feel that price movement is much more important than fundamentals for us. So, in the reason being, if you think about investors that make macro type of theme investments, a lot of times they're early. So it's not that their research isn't right. It's just that it's early, and an investment can sit for 12 months, 18 months before that investment starts to move. And so we feel like getting into that investment after it starts to move is the best way to determine which direction the markets are going.
Right, and you're using ETFs exclusively, is that correct?
It's exclusively ETFs,
okay,
yep.
That's exchange-traded funds, which are relatively new to the marketplace. I mean, they've been around now for what, 10, 15 years?
1989, I believe, was the first one.
Oh, really? That
yeah.
long ago?
Yeah.
Okay, but it seems like they weren't really used much until, I'm going to say, the last 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, they've exploded. I mean, the ETF marketplace now is up to 1.2 or 1.8 trillion, and so they've grown rapidly from nothing 25 years ago to coming up on a couple of trillion dollars.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So do you think with your strategy, do you see adding any other ETFs, or would that kind of skew your model? Or
yeah, no. So this one I feel very, very comfortable with, because obviously we've got the 5 years now of live data. I had a very robust back test where everything went smoothly. And so I can't imagine ever changing anything with this particular model. I love testing, though. And so I am constantly testing new things. We do have four other strategies at the moment, and I think we'll probably be launching another one sometime during 2015.
Well, that's great. So if anyone does want to get a hold of you guys, do you have an address, email address, or phone number?
Yeah. So, I mean, the easiest way to get in touch with us is through our website, which is www.sterling-gs.com.
Sterling is S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. Dash G as in George, S as in Sam, .com.
That's exactly right.
All righty.
Great. Well, thank you, Mark, for being on the show with us. We really appreciate your time and information on your ETF model.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay, when we get back after a short break, don't go away, because when we return, we want to share with you a little bit more about the Schwab Impact Conference and a very special concert that was given to us by a big-name singing group. So please stay tuned and savvy up.
I'm a mediator and a divorce coach. One of the aspects of my work is helping women rebuild their lives after divorce. So listen up, ladies. Some of you are really good at investing and handling financial matters. Others, well, maybe not so good. It doesn't really matter. Savvy Women Wealth Management wants you. Do you want to have fun while learning? Do you want to be in control of your finances, more educated, empowered, and confident? Then you need to be part of the Savvy Women Club. Never heard of the Savvy Women Club? Well, that's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm letting you in on a little secret. We're not the same as the guys. How we feel about money and investing, who we want to work with, sets us apart. The club takes place in a really cool, non-threatening, fun atmosphere. So I want you to check out their upcoming events at SavvyUp.com or call 760-692-5700 and ask about becoming a Savvy Women Club member. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700. So go ahead, ladies. Take charge of your life. And Savvy Up!
As Mr. Obvious might say, women and men are different. We are different all the way from the hormones we have flowing through our bodies to the way we process information. For years, the financial industry was very male-dominated and male-centric. It was run by men who educated other men in the style of the way men learn. But things have changed. Many women have now entered the financial arena, and many other women are looking to learn more about finances and investing. We at Savvy Women Wealth Management believe that the process of education should be tailored to the student. That's why we have developed two workshops, Savvy Women Invest on Purpose and Becoming a Seriously Savvy Woman. We believe these events are tailored more toward the way women learn. They are limited in size, so the atmosphere is a little more intimate, a little more inviting, and a lot more fun. If interested, check out our event schedule at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700. Savvy Up!
Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with Catherine Magana and me, Steve Wolf. And we would like to talk just a little bit more about the Schwab Impact Conference that we went to. You know, one of the more interesting things is something that seems to be becoming more popular, and it's got the nickname of robo-investing. I'm not sure I really like that name, but basically what it is, it's almost like a robot is taking over your asset allocation. And I believe that this is going to get a little bit bigger as time goes on. It's kind of a it's kind of something a little bit different.
Yeah, and I think what it's really attracting to is what they call Generation Now, which is really the 34 to 45 year old, or 30 to 40.
The millennials.
And millennials under that. So it's because they don't need the whole comprehensive financial planning and everything else, and they obviously were brought up more in the technology world. And so it's just a way to get those investors to the marketplace in an environment that they're used to. And what I think what's going to happen over time is as they start moving through the different phases of life, they may need some additional planning and be more receptive to some of the more comprehensive things that take place with investments like our firm.
Well, and that's true. But the one thing that the robo-investing cannot do, and that is challenge your behavior. And that's another thing that was really big at this conference, behavioral finances. I know I went to one educational session that was given by, I believe his name was Shlomo Benaritz. He's a UCLA professor. And he was basically talking about, you know, all the reasons that people get out of stocks at the wrong time, get into them at the wrong time, et cetera. And then there was another educational session given by Jay Moreland from The Emotional Investor, basically talking about emotional biases. So as a matter of fact, there were quite a few on that. So what I think is the problem with just doing the robo-investing is that when things get bad, you will revert to normal human behavior, and most people get out at the wrong time.
And that's true. I think that's one of the things that one of our kind of philosophies is really to ignore the noise in the media and just really look at what are the true facts. Because every day you turn on the radio or TV or internet, there's always something out there that's negative. And that's kind of our role, is to decipher what's real, what's not, and not make drastic changes. And that's one of the things that we guide our clients constantly is to really stay true to your investment allocation and to your plan, and really focus on kind of your investment process and not what's going on with the market volatility.
Well, I think that's important too. The noise of the media is incredible. You know, I remember here just very recently when you couldn't turn on TV without talking about Ebola, and Ebola was causing the market to go down. It was incredible. And I know we talked about it, and my view was this will pass. Do not make an emotional decision because of that. Because what happens is that the people in the media are not interested in giving you financial advice. They are interested only in entertaining. They are interested in getting you to watch them or to listen to them, because that's how they make their money. So it's interesting to see what happened. Now Ebola's out of the news, the markets are coming back, and everyone seems to be shocked.
So there was another speaker that Charles Best, who talked about donorschoice.org, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's a nonprofit organization that provides pretty much assistance through for classroom projects, and the you have access to a whole wide array of different areas, topics, and if you are you want to go ahead and donate money, you can pick the cause. And I thought that was something very innovative, and I like that you can go in and help these teachers, but also you can help support a project that perhaps it's something that's near and dear to your heart.
And I believe that they were also, I think Schwab decided to donate some money to that.
They did. So they gave us a little voucher to go ahead and test that out. And right. So that was really nice of them to do that.
Correct. Well, another thing that we had, which I think that everybody probably will enjoy, is they had a special concert. And, you know, it's funny because I really didn't know the name of the group, Train. But that probably I'm showing my age, but I knew every one of their songs. So here we are at this warehouse. As a matter of fact, it was interesting because there was about 4,000 people trying to go to this dinner and entertainment that Schwab put on the last night. And what they did is they converted an old warehouse into a pretty cool soundstage. So we're listening, and all of a sudden this group comes on, and it's Train, and they start singing all sorts of songs that we knew. And since we like the song, we're going to play probably their biggest hit, and that's Hey Soul Sister. So give us about 3 minutes for that.
Well, welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I know Steve was trying to get me on the stage a few times, but I just didn't have the guts to get up there.
They were getting all sorts of people up on the stage.
They were, and they're doing selfies, and it was a lot of fun.
Right, but you refused. You said you would have done it if you were closer.
I would have if I was a little bit closer next time.
And probably a little more to drink.
Probably. It was just a long day. Okay, so moving on, just a few other things we wanted to share with you about Impact that was pretty impactful for us. So we had Liz Ann Saunders from Charles Schwab, who's the Chief Investment Strategist, share with us some insight. And some of the things that she talked about were that the U.S. market remains in a secular bull market, and that after 5.5 years, it's entering into a mature stage, and that investors can expect some more price swings. So it's kind of interesting. Obviously, we've seen some volatility recently, and it sounds to me that that will still happen. The other thing she mentioned was commenting on interest rates. So, when do you expect the Fed to start raising short-term rates? And the consensus is still mid-2015, although some people think it could hold off until 2016.
So, at the rate we're going, it may never happen.
True. and then lastly, kind of what are some of the biggest risks in the financial markets? And that would obviously be the geopolitical risk. And obviously, we've seen a lot of things happen with ISIS, Ukraine, Russia, and Ebola. So, and that also led into we had Greg Valeri, who also commented about different myths. And before he got into that, he was just commenting how, with the good news from the midterm elections were that now we don't have to see any more commercials. So that was kind of a good way to start it off. But needless to say, he did also comment on obviously having domestic politics be separated from geopolitics, and the Americans can't shut themselves off from global events, which is definitely true. And another thing he commented on was President Hillary Clinton would be horrible for the financial markets, and that was a myth. And obviously, she is the likely candidate to run for the Democrats, so we should be able to see what happens there. But so just a little bit about kind of a couple other speakers that we saw. And
as far as geopolitics, going back to George Bush, he did talk about a couple of different people who, was in his sphere. Tony Blair was one, and he thought that Tony Blair was the best ally he's ever had. He said he's a real straight shooter, that if he said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. And then he talked a little bit about Putin, and he's not so convinced that Putin. But I think how he put it is he was a good tactician, but not a good strategist. And he said that if he were with Ukraine, he would be, that Putin should be doing things a little bit differently. And since we're kind of constrained for time, I don't want to go into that, but I thought it was very interesting, his viewpoints on different people.
True. So let's go through next week's show.
Okay, well, next week we're going to have Bucky Marcus from Tri Wellness, and they have a wellness firm that hopefully you use before you get ill. And then Ann Liu, who is Carlsbad Charitable Foundation.
So every week we leave you with an inspirational quote. This week our quote is from Helen Keller. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart.
Well, thanks for listening, and please know that our mission is to entertain, enlighten, educate, and energize. And always remember, knowledge is power. For successful investing, never stop learning, and savvy up.
This is Financial News and Talk on the Astor Broadcast Stations, AM 1450, KFSD, Escondido.